Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 podcast. Joining us today, it is Eli Letterman of the Tulsa World. We've got some football coaching search stuff to get to. Oklahoma State searching for their new DC. And also, we'll talk some recruiting. Pokes have a pretty nice class. We'll break that down on today's show, which is brought to you all by Sonos. If you guys need a holiday gift, go check out Sonos. Their speakers are excellent. All right, let's get into it.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Josh Neighbors here once again, Locked On Big 12 Podcast, joined today by Eli Letterman of the Tulsa World, also a Mizzou alum. Eli, I have to start off by saying I was in Lawrence, Kansas this past Saturday, and I watched our Missouri Tigers take it on the chin. Just another example of why Big 12 basketball is the best, right?
I didn't even know there was a game. What are we talking about? As you sit from a
Is it significant? Do people care about Missouri, Kansas?
I think so. Yes, they do. Everyone can say what they want. People care, and we're going to care.
Yes. But once again, positive side, spin zone, it just shows once again why Big 12 hoops is the best. All right. So let's talk about Oklahoma State, the team that you cover for the Tulsa World. Jim Knowles is heading to Ohio State. Just an example of, you know, another example of how this business works. We're all small fish compared to the big boys, because when the big boys come calling, they inevitably have more money, more resources. And let's be honest, I mean, the Ohio State caliber of player, just in terms of talent, is better than just about everybody else in the country, save three other teams. So can't really blame Jim Knowles. I mean, it was either that or a head coaching job, right? Either head coaching position or go somewhere like Ohio State.
I think so. I think there really was some desire on his part to stay here. Mm-hmm. And maybe there would have been an amount of money that wasn't what he got at Ohio State, which is $1.9 million, that could have done it. But there's, you know, levels of resources. And I think Oklahoma State just couldn't quite get to where it needed to be. And the fact is that $1.9 million now with Mike Elko headed to Duke and both Clemson coordinators taking head coaching jobs, I think if Jim Knowles is not the highest paid assistant in the country, he is 2, 3, or 4. And so it's hard to argue with that. And on the other piece of it, it's hard to argue with Ohio State. I happened to be at the Broyles Award ceremony with Jim Knowles the day he left, before we knew he was leaving. And I just asked him about 2018 when he came from Duke to Oklahoma State. And he said, you know, I asked him basically, what were you looking for? Why did a guy from the East Coast come to Stillwater, Oklahoma? I could ask myself the same questions, but he would both agree it was for work. But he said he wanted a challenge. And in the 4 years here, he got a challenge. And by the end of it, he had one of the nation's top defenses. And I think, you know, Ohio State offers a challenge that he was not going to find here. That's a different job. That's one of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 blue blood jobs in the country where you've got that top 1% talent. You've got national championship ambitions. And so I think it was as much the money. And I mean, it's hard to overlook nearly $2 million. He got close to there with the signing bonus this year. But I also think it really was for him an opportunity to take a next step to challenge himself and to do something even bigger than he was able to do here in Stillwater.
Yeah, and he's such a good defensive coordinator. I mean, it's hard to see a situation in which he doesn't do well. Now, I know expectations are different and things always don't work out, but like, it's not like he is expanding, right? This is not him taking now both sides of the ball. This is him still being on defense. This is him that's still being, you know, his unit. It's a elevation in talent. And I would say, you know, for 2 to 3 games a year on the regular season, at least they're going to find themselves on equal footing, but generally speaking, they're not, right? And he's going to have a more talented group. And this is not to knock the Oklahoma State players, right? But because he coached those guys out to be, I mean, they were a cut above basically everybody they played. I mean, there was the games this year in which they gave up a little bit. They actually rally, like there's the second half of the Oklahoma game, second half of the Baylor game, they were pitching shutouts.
Same deal. They locked down when they needed to.
Yeah, and so, you know, and those guys are excellent, but like this is, you're getting Chase Young. You're getting Haskell Garrett. You're getting the Bosas. That's just, it's just a little bit different. And also, I'm looking right now at the highest paid coordinators. It also blows my mind that Todd Grantham was number three last year at $1.8 million, which is, I can't fathom paying him that much money. But yeah, he's up there now. I mean, I think it's him. Jeff Lebby's was pretty significant. But yeah, I mean, those are the top tier. And now the question goes to, hey, who is it now, right? Who are they gonna look for? What is the word? What are you hearing? And then we can talk about kind of the philosophies behind what they should do next.
Well, I'll say just like one last point on Knowles. I think you mentioned like level footing is, I think now Ohio State has as good of a weapon in a game you're on level footing with, just as with a schemer and a guy who can be versatile with a defense and all that. Where I think there's, and I say question mark, I don't have much doubt that Jim Knowles can go succeed at Ohio State. But a key difference is, you know, he was described here as an old school guy who's an acquired taste who took some time to get used to. And he really rallied a group of three-star, four-star guys, mm-hmm. a lot of them from the state of Oklahoma who weren't heavily recruited. And you can just that was the profile of his defense, was he spoke to a group of guys that were not five stars.
Not Ohio State's
players. Yeah, exactly. And so I have no doubt it's probably going to work there, but it is going to be a different environment because here I think he probably could come in and it took some time, but and really, you know, be who he was. And I don't know if those five stars, you know, the room full of five stars where your third stringer is a five star, if they're going to respond the same way. So that's something I told folks in Columbus who were talking to me. It was like, that's an interesting factor to me, but I think.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. He's 50 something, right?
56. And he just has a very, I mean, it all sounds cliche, but he's got that old school from Philly, been around, mm-hmm. and he certainly kind of set about his ways, and it really worked here. But I'll be curious to kind of see that component play out in Columbus.
Well, it was, you know, Mike Gundy is such a character, but in terms of Mike Gundy, the football coach, like he really leaned into that, which is, mm-hmm. you know, which I love to see coaches adapting. That's the one thing you like to see. And he found a coach who was kind of one of those old school guys set in his ways, and he leaned into it. He's like, all right, that'll be the strength of our team. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to try to press the issue. We're not going to be old school Oklahoma State, which I love by Mike Gundy, which gets this next question, right? Who do they get? Because there's multiple things at work here. There's number one, they're losing a lot of the personnel that they had from the defense, right? I mean, this is an old, old defense.
Yeah, we're going to there's a, you know, all the extra eligibility and guys, it seems like there could be at least eight guys on the defense who could return if they'd like to.
Okay.
But you are.
It's up in the air, right? We're still up in the air on this?
It's up in the air. There is, I think, some confidence overall. And that was pre-Jim Knowles. That we'll see how much that impacts things. But unquestioned is Malcolm Rodriguez, Devin Harper. That's your linebacking core gone. And so there will be pieces gone from this defense. It's not going to be the exact.
Is Harrell Peel, has he made his decision yet on whether he's going?
Yeah, but he would obviously be a big returnee. And Jarg Bernard Converse yesterday said he's still thinking about it, but I would think maybe leaning in. Tanner McAllister has spoken and said Oklahoma State fans would probably like to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah.
So and Brock Martin is actually the only one who has officially declared he's coming back. So we'll see on that, but there's guys who could come back, but you're going to lose, I mean, the unquestioned leader of the defense in Malcolm Rodriguez. And it's certainly going to be a year of transition, whether it's players leaving or a new defensive coordinator. And that brings us to that question. Is it going to be an internal hire? Is it going to be a big name from the outside? Is it going to be another unknown on the offensive side of the ball? Mike Gundy brought in Mike Yurcich from Shippensburg and people didn't know who he was. And, mm-hmm. and here he is a few stops later at Penn State. And so I think it's really all on the table. I would say a lot of us here were probably just gut thinking it would be internal. Maybe Joe Bob Clements or Tim Duffy, both offensive assistants or defensive assistants who've been on staff for nearly a decade now. But we spoke to Gundy yesterday and he didn't say he wasn't going to look internal. He said he had thoughts about all those guys, but he poured a little water on that. He said, you know, it's my job to keep this moving in the same direction it's been. And so I'm going to look everywhere and I'm going to look to bring in the best person. And whether that's a guy from a Power Five program who's a known commodity or it's somebody from NAIA or Division II, at this point, who knows?
Schematically is a question too. Like, and that, once again, this is so much personnel based that happens, but do you keep going with a 4-2-5? I believe it's a 4-2-5, right? It's, it's a 4-2-5. And do you keep going with the, we'll blitz from anywhere, anytime. You never know what's coming. We're going to confuse you. You know, there are different philosophies on kind of how you attack certain quarterbacks. I think that was the one thing they had definitely, is that they confused a lot of quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
You saw there's a reason why Baylor basically said, let's get the ball out of Blake Shapen's hands as fast as possible. That's our remedy in the first half. That's what they wanted to do. It wasn't able to sustain for four quarters. You saw Caleb Williams look fun, having fun in the first half. Second half, he looked like he was, a scared child out there, except for a couple runs. He was pretty confused for the most part. How do you think that they're going to, the schematic part of it, do you think they should kind of maintain what they've been doing because it's been so effective? Or do you think it's just the person changing at DC is going to necessitate them changing schematically?
Well, it'll certainly in some ways probably depend on who the guy is. If you're promoting from within, and some of the personnel is going to be the same, it'd be hard to just abandon what worked so well this year. But if you hire a defensive coordinator who's got his own scheme, it's going to be hard to break that away. So maybe the answer is that if it's going to be an outside hire, it's going to have to be someone who's willing to come in and stick with the scheme and stick with that defense and try to keep the momentum going. But I think that's something that's easier said than done. If you don't have somebody who's sold on the system and they come in, that can be a sticking point from day one. So I would say, my opinion on it would be to stick with the system. I think it's what worked so well this year, and you could have as many as eight starters back, and they played deep this year. They had guys like Jason Taylor and Thomas Harper, mm-hmm. Mason Cobb at linebacker. There were guys that got in, and so there's depth. There's guys, all these guys who are going to be playing next year have played in this system. And so whether you're promoting Joe Bob Clements or Tim Duffy from the current staff or bringing someone in, Mike Gundy did mention, speaking about outside hires, that he would maybe want it to be somebody who's worked here before, who knows the culture. And so that was less schematic and more cultural. He said he didn't want to have to teach somebody everything all over again.
Right.
But maybe if it is somebody with a relationship here already, they may be more malleable or just on board with sticking with a scheme that worked so well this year.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see. And you made a great point because, I thought about the personnel side of it. Like all those guys, I totally forgot. They've all got eligibility left.
And the thing with the eligibility.
So as old as they are, they still have eligibility.
Save for the guys who have been here for like six, almost right. 7 years at this point. It seems like everybody has been able to scrounge up, just that extra year between the COVID eligibility and redshirts and all that. So it does make
it. And it's not a defense full of guys who are, they can all play in the NFL, but like not, they're not blue chip prospects, NFL prospects. A lot of them are not. Even like Colin Oliver, who I'd say is the best performing young guy. I mean, he's not got the body of an NFL edge rusher.
Not yet. He's young.
Exactly. Right. And obviously he's a freshman, freshman, but and he can't go, but I would say the guy who's of age that could go, that's got the option to stay. Harvell Peel is the safety that everybody was talking about coming to the year. The numbers weren't great, but part of that was because a lot of it got absorbed ahead of him. Yeah. I still thought he had a really nice season. But this is not, like I mentioned earlier, like an Ohio State blue chip level talented defense. The performances have been excellent.
No, you're absolutely right. I think from the current defense, I mean, Malcolm Rodriguez's numbers speak for themselves. He feels like a guy who probably will get slightly overlooked again, but I think to whatever
he'll degree, be fine.
He's gonna be fine. And truthfully, I don't know that a lot of folks would have maybe seen all this. Devin Harper probably has the most NFL ready build and body. He is so fast and so big, and in the time he spent on the field this year, his first time really getting to start, he was really impressive. So I would wager someone's going to take a shot on him. But you're absolutely right. Even Brock Martin, who had a career year at defensive end, best season of his career, his own estimation, and I'm sure maybe he got some of this from, whatever channels he has to the NFL. He said, I've got to come back for another year because this wasn't good enough. I need to improve. I'm not in a spot where I can go take this shot at the NFL like I'd like to. So I think that might be the opinion of a lot of these guys on the defense, and that would be a good thing for Oklahoma State in 2022.
Yeah, all right, let's get to some recruiting here. First, quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. You can go there today, new slick sign up, new site look, got all kinds of contests as we head towards the NFL playoffs, college football bowls on the horizon as well, so go check that out. BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On. LOCKEDON Locked On. Get that 50% deposit bonus today. Deposit $100. Give you an extra 50 to play with today. Once again, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline. It is where the game starts. Also, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. It's the best way to go with college football, college basketball overs and unders. So if you wanted to bet on over Oshai Agbaji points against Missouri on Saturday, you would have been fine if that had hit. Over interceptions for Spencer Sanders in the Big 12 championship game, you would have been pretty comfortable on that one as well. You can bet on all of that stuff at Prize Picks. It's available in most states. Go check out the app today. Use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Check out the Prize Picks app. All right, so some cruton. Disclaimer before we get going, we talk recruiting, Eli. I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this to fans out there. These are kids, okay? They do dumb stuff. They make decisions. Actually, not even dumb stuff. They make choices. They make decisions. They're allowed to do it. They are kids. It is their futures. Don't get angry about it. Don't get upset about it, all right? They're kids, all right? They are kids. Let them enjoy their time in the sun. Okay, so I like to kind of put things into context. In terms of the recruiting class, it is number 23 overall. It is positioned below Oregon, and it is also above, weirdly, Boston College getting themselves top 25. That is Jeff Hafley, man.
He's doing something out there.
I mean, and also, this is not one of those schools where everybody can be eligible. You know what I mean? This is not some cakewalk. That's a tough school. You got to keep the kids eligible at a place like Boston College too. So pretty impressive there, but. This is a better class than the one they had last year, I would say, Eli. How much of this class do you think we're going to see signed tomorrow? Do you have a good feel for that at all? We're going to see most of these guys put pen to paper tomorrow? Early signing period?
I think they're feeling pretty confident over there, just about confident and settled. I think there could be a name or two that comes in, but for the most part, it's going to be the list you can find online of the Oklahoma State class of 2022 is who you're going to see signing tomorrow. And it's a group which will get people excited for sure. That's just loaded with offensive talent from Talon Shetron at OKC or Edmond, Ollie Gordon and CJ Brown are a pair of running backs. And then you got Braylon Presley, the brother of Brendan Presley, who just torched teams across the state of Oklahoma all year with Bixby this year. And they just stormed to the state title. And so that's four, young guys to add to a core of young guys. I mean, this year was all about some of those young receivers at Oklahoma State, and now you're just going to throw more talent into it. So I think, at least in terms of the eye candy, the really exciting eye-popping prospects, this class is, again, about offensive talent.
Yeah, and the big key for Oklahoma State's offense, it feels like, and I'm not sure if this class addresses it, maybe it's something that happens just for them, but the group they have now, the offensive line's got to become a bit more consistent. Yes, quarterback play, but we all know a lot of this stuff, you could eventually assess talent position play. It's easier to do when the offensive line, you're not looking at it every 15 seconds. And I would say the last 2 years, it's been a struggle. Now, Spencer Sanders did create a lot of his own problems this year. But, they don't have a whole lot in the offensive line department. It appears a few guys that are coming in. But that's, I think, where a lot of people focus. And there are a few names in this class that are going to help out with that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a share of the blame in some percentages for performances like the one Spencer Sanders had in the Big 12 title game. But Mike Gundy and the offensive linemen themselves have said, we didn't protect him well enough. So there, it was not all just Spencer Sanders dropping back, having all the time in the world and making some of those decisions. So, there's three offensive linemen in this class, and certainly the headliner is Tyrone Weber, who's a junior college commit. He's the fourth ranked junior college prospect in the country, and he's a guy who, you know, it's always easy this time of year to say a guy can come in and play immediately. Last year, everyone was real excited about Caleb Etienne, real big offensive lineman, junior college, who transferred in, and he didn't make the transition. He didn't feature much beyond the first few games, and he might be one for the future, but it's always easier to say in December that a guy can step in. But Tyrone Weber would be that next guy for Oklahoma State who really, if he gets onto campus and settles in and kind of takes to the program, he could be a guy who could be featuring on that line next year and becoming an impact player on an offensive line that could use some.
And then let's talk about Shetron and Presley. I mean, these are two guys that could come in and have a pretty instant impact, right? Because we saw how many freshmen playing at wide receiver this year. These two guys, they've got a pretty good chance to play some. And I think, you know, you seem to know more about Presley than I do, but I mean, you know, what kind of a weapon he could be? Because they could definitely use a guy in the slot who's a bit smaller to somebody. And they've used Brennan that way in the past, right? He's had a big taste of that. But having a smaller guy they can use just kind of as a different outlet for the offense, I mean, those guys are going to get some opportunities to play, I think, pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so. So with Taylen Shetron, at least he's announced his plan to enroll early. I don't know about Braylon Presley. But that was a big thing for the guys who did that this year. The two Green twins came in early. And that, and I believe John Paul Richardson did as well. And all those guys were so much further ahead come fall camp that they were, I mean, they got onto the field because of injury in September and they were really needed, but those guys were ready when they got in and they were talked about in fall camp as guys who could be ready. And so you look at other freshmen coming in and filling that mold. I think Taylen Shetron could be a guy who gets to do that. And then Braylon Presley, I don't know what his plans are, but he, as I said, just blazed through defenses, and it'll be a little bit different playing at Oklahoma State, but you just can't argue with that athleticism, a guy like him. And so we'll see to what extent he can play next fall, but he would seem to be a guy who could be an immediate weapon, whether you get him in the return game or you find packages for him, or if he carves out a legitimate role pretty early. You know, his brother Brennan, it was a weird freshman season in 2020 with COVID, but there was a lot of feeling like he should have been getting the ball and getting more involved early. And then when he did, he had his big bowl game breakout against Miami. And so it would not shock me at all to see some of these young guys feature pretty, maybe more heavily than in a lot of places next fall.
And then they go and they get their quarterback in this class is going to be Garrett Rangel from Lone Star. Obviously, well-known high school, produced a lot of high-level talent. You know, what's kind of the word on him, and what are people's thoughts? You know, Skid is, I guess, what is composite four-star and three-star quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, what's kind of the read on this kid they're bringing in?
Well, I think, you know, like a lot of maybe quarterbacks in this range, it's a little bit of a question mark. But the fact is, he's positioned that if he were to come in here, and kind of step to the plate, that he could become, I don't know about the heir apparent to Spencer Sanders, but I'd say, you know, in front of him, you know, Spencer Sanders for at least one more season, most likely. And then Shane Illingworth, seems they were able to preserve his redshirt year. But beyond that, there is not necessarily a quarterback in this depth chart who you look at and say he's going to be the guy for the next 3, 4, 5 years. And so, you know, he could come in, and whether he could feature at all as a freshman or if they choose to probably preserve his redshirt and save that eligibility. I don't know if he is the next guy, but just looking at the way things are set up, there is not a next guy in front of him. And so I think that opportunity is there for him if he can come in and sort of, you know, meet the expectations and exceed them.
What's the feeling as we head forward on Spencer Sanders, right? What is kind of the fan base and everybody think? I mean, you know, another full off season for him, right? And he'll be another year older. You know, the joke is always like, does he take the next step, right? That is always the Spencer Sanders conversation.
Yeah.
Is it a situation where we're talking about the next step, or are we saying, look, is he the game manager next year, that his next step is trimming the fat, cutting the mistakes off, and becoming this refined mobile? And I think the best example of this, not as a college quarterback, but like what Russell Wilson was to those Seahawks championship teams was the mobile quarterback who made the plays he had to make and didn't lose the football when he, you know, in those big moments. Right now, Spencer is the guy who makes a couple plays when he needs to make them, also puts the defense in a couple awful positions like we saw in the Big 12 championship game. Do you think there's a next level, or do you think his next level is kind of, we talked about cutting the fat?
Well, I mean, this was the year that he was supposed to cut down the turnovers and kind of cut that fat. And he did through, I mean, he certainly didn't like playing Baylor. They picked him off 7 times this year in 2 games. But for the most part, you know, he did that. He did enough with this defense to get them to where they were on that championship Saturday. And then it unraveled. And whether that was a Spencer Sanders issue or a protection issue or a Baylor issue, it was an issue. And I think, unfortunately for him, and maybe unfairly, the fan base, you know, Spencer Sanders, short of coming out and winning a Heisman next year, could probably have a fantastic season, and the fan base wouldn't, you know, feel 100% comfortable until he went back to Dallas and didn't throw 4 interceptions.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think there's still plenty of faith here. I think, you know, another year of progress could only help because there is just so much talent there. And, you know, you can certainly look to Oklahoma State's depth and say, yeah, put in Shane Illingworth, but he can't do what Spencer Sanders can do with his feet and what that gives this offense, especially when it's struggling. Whether it's because of him or not, he adds a dimension with his feet. But I'd say this is that, you know, you go to the Fiesta Bowl, and if that performance looks similar to Baylor against Notre Dame, you at least start asking questions, and you'd wonder, they might be behind on it as the quarterbacks seem to be starting to move in the portal. I don't know how many people had Spencer Rattler going to South Carolina, but
tell you what, that's a pull, Shane Beamer. It's a pretty good pull.
It was a real good pull. He used his OU ties, but I would just, you know, at least it would bear questioning if Spencer Sanders looks like he did against Baylor in the bowl game. Once again, does this team, do they look to the portal? But I think the question there too, it's always easier. Grass is always greener. Let's go to the portal and get a quarterback. You have to bring in someone who's better than Spencer Sanders. And, you know, for whatever pitfalls there are with him at times, he is a pretty dang talented quarterback. So,
and the coach likes him.
And
Mike Gundy really seems to believe. I mean, whether it's him talking him up, he really seems to believe in him.
So, I mean, and that might end that conversation. That might be it, no matter what the fan base believes or thinks or feels. I would put good money on Spencer Sanders being under center week one next year.
Yeah, it's just like, and for coaches, there's only so many hours in a day. They got so much to do. Do you want to invest time and resources on trying to pull a kid from the portal when everybody else is trying to? Or for Oklahoma State, it's like, look, we won, you know, this many games and he sucked in the last one. Like, if we can get him just incrementally better, you know, and look, he sucked. They still could have won the game. I mean, they, you know, in the end, I mean, I think if you point to what killed him that game, it was the plays inside the 5 and they didn't score. Is what actually did them in.
Plenty of chances to win that game in spite of everything that happened in that game.
Right. So, you know, for me, it's like, look, there's stuff that I have, you know, if I'm like Gundy, I'm like, yeah, I got more. Yeah. Spencer's a quarterback. Don't ask me about it. But I will say the idea of what's behind him is interesting because people seem to like Shane Illingworth and think he's pretty good. And he's got how many years? Is it 3 years of eligibility left?
Yeah, they held on to that. So he's got the eligibility there. And I'd say there's a good chance that you'll see him, you know, maybe enter a season as a starter here.
Is he a COVID sophomore or a sophomore? I'm trying to think. Because I'm trying to remember. Because, I mean, if last year was his first year, then he's got 4 years of eligibility left and they registered him this year. So besides, you know, that
yeah,
besides
you're
the point.
You're absolutely right. He was a true sophomore this year and then he redshirted. So he's got the eligibility there and he's got the arm talent. He's an impressive passer. What he doesn't possess is much running ability.
He's got some stone feet is what he does.
Some Ben Roethlisberger in him. Yeah. And then maybe that works, but you know, modern game, college game, you've got to then account for what you're losing in the running ability of your quarterback. If he's going to be your guy.
And I will say also, you know, with the rest of the Oklahoma State class, the big thing, and this is what they've been able to do with this defense in particular, their development has been really good. And you see this class is littered with, you know, a couple linebackers, a couple defensive ends, a couple corners, all of them 3-star guys. You know, that goes kind of back to our defensive coordinator conversation of who are going to be the people there to to elevate that group because, you know, like it or not, this team has been built. This is now Oklahoma State is essentially Virginia Tech of the Big 12, right? Old school Virginia Tech. I mean, the school that has developed a lot of really good players who are not very highly sought after. Couple sought after guys, but the rest have been elevated to a big position. You know, I think that's the question, right? Will that continue, especially on the defensive side? Because offense, the line's the problem. But in terms of like talent, I mean, Tylan Wallace, Chuba Hubbard, Tay Martin, Jalen Warren, they're still getting like that stuff. While it's not the old run and shoot offense, and really not many are left in the Big 12. You know, it's still a pretty talented unit. I would say that stuff hasn't changed to me.
Yeah, and this class, if you look at the profile, it largely lines up with the past. It's getting three-star guys from largely from Oklahoma and Texas and some of these surrounding states, guys who probably are a step or two, at least on the recruiting side, below some of the very, very top talent. But then they've, in the past, been able to convert those three stars into guys who play like four or five stars. It's almost like what Mizzou was doing for a while there, when they were really succeeding, was Gary Finkel era, was taking guys who weren't always the most sought after and turning them into players, you know, star ratings be damned. Mm. And so that's kind of the formula here still as well.
All right. One more word from our sponsors before I get you out of here. Omaha Steaks, perfect holiday gift. 24 entrees in this holiday package they have right now. Go over there today, use the promo code Locked On. You guys will get this deal for just $99.99. Once again, it is LO College what you use to get that discount. 4 bacon wrap fillets, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks. They've got scalloped potatoes, caramel apple tarts, signature seasoning, and also 8 free Omaha Steak burgers as well. Check that out, Omaha Steaks. Eli, what are you working on now? Where can people find you and your work and all of its variety?
Well, we're working on, it's kind of a two-pronged thing right now. We got plenty of signing day coverage today, tomorrow, the next day. And then from here until January 1st, it's all about the Fiesta Bowl. So you can find me by Eli Letterman. I think that's right here. There we go. And you can find all my work, all my colleagues' work at the Tulsa World and TulsaWorld.com.
Eli Letterman of the Tulsa World, we appreciate your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.